Welcome to the Republic House of Representatives call. Today is Tuesday, December 17th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. Tonight we have Dr. Mosley doing a teaching on kingdom law versus the world's legal traditions of men, and including some of the 50 laws of life and how they apply throughout the Bible and today as well. With discussion as the Holy Spirit leads us, we also have former Speaker of the House, John Rockwell, to give us his synopsis of the earlier years in the Republic House of Representatives that will be helpful to our representatives who have become members of the House this year. And after that, if there's time, we shall read the last four pages from the Proclamation of Claim and Interest and have discussion on that as well. But before we get started with roll call and swearing affirming in new representatives and the teaching, would someone like to open us up in prayer? Okay, I could do that. Yahweh, our Heavenly Creator, we give you honor and praise for the supernatural works that are unfolding right before our very eyes. You have called us here at this time in history to be a part of your plan of salvation to save America and mankind from the Babylonian system, a system that was first started by Nimrod, the son of Ham, one of Noah's sons, so long ago. So while they believed in the traditions of man and idolistic society as their savior, Noah and the children of God have a firm reliance on divine providence with the creator of the universe, Elohim, Yeshua, and Holy Spirit, three in one, whose wisdom passes all understanding. So thank you, Father, for revealing the truth that sets us free from bondage of all captors, past, present, and future, and for the sacrifice Jesus made to redeem our souls from hell and death by his blood. For we are washed by the blood, we are covered by the blood, we are saved by the blood, and we are healed by his blood, and no devil can defeat the blood. Father, we ask your holy angels to reveal even more truth and open the eyes and ears of your beloved children to your republic, even the founding fathers gave us, to prevent us from becoming slaves to the Babylonian system of government, finance, education, and religion. So save us from falling prey to the wicked tyrants that think they can control the world with paper money, deception, and lies. Father, we give you all the recognition, praise, and glory for winning this spiritual conflict for truth that was already paid for by the sacrificial lamb of God, Yeshua, once and for all, closing this moment in time with your prophecies fulfilled completely. So we pray all this in the mighty name of Yeshua. We say, God save the children, God save the Republic, God save America, Canada, and the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel, and the land you gave Israel. And we look forward to uttering the words, the Lord our righteousness, when Yeshua returns. And it's in his name we pray. Thank you, Father. Amen.
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 All right. So are there any representatives on the call tonight that have not been sworn in? And I'm thinking about Representative Brendan Neville from Oklahoma and Representative Tamara Pritzer from Idaho. Are either of you present tonight? All right. Well, apparently not. We'll come back at the end, I guess, for them to see. All right, so we're going to take roll call quickly, and we'll get on to the teaching. Representative David Schmidt, are you present?
Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin Free State is present.
Thank you. Representative Robin Cox, are you present?
Representative Robin Cox from North Dakota Free State is present.
Thank you, ma'am. Representative James Blanton, are you present?
Representative Blanton, Free State of Colorado, present.
Thank you, sir. And Representative Mark Binder is present from the Free State of Iowa. Representative Doug Reed, are you present? Representative Ethan Jordan, are you present? Representative Rebecca Sowell, are you present?
Representative Rebecca Sowell from the Free State of North Carolina, present.
Thank you, ma'am. Representative Denise Marshall, are you present? Representative Ronald Hatcher, are you present? All right. Representative Arnold Leaf, are you present?
Representative Arnold Leite from South Dakota, present.
Thank you, sir. Representative Kathleen Jones, are you present? Okay. Representative Sandra Trio, are you present? All right. Don't forget to unmute yourself here if you're on the call. Representative Michelle Holliday, are you present? Okay. Representative Eloise Alsop, are you present?
Representative Eloise Alsop from Arkansas Free State is present.
Thank you, ma'am. Representative Richard Akey, are you present?
Representative Richard Akey from the Ohio Free State is present.
Thank you, sir. Representative Rosa Rosullo, are you present?
Representative Rosa Rosullo from the Free State of Maryland, present.
Thank you, ma'am. Representative Laura Higgs, are you present?
Representative Laura Higgs from the Free State of Missouri, present.
Thank you, ma'am. Representative Jaron Carty, are you present? Don't forget to unmute yourself, sir. Representative McCarthy, are you present? I'm pretty sure he's here. All right. Representative Scott Knowlton, are you present?
Scott Knowlton from the Free State of Massachusetts is present.
Thank you, sir. Representative Shannon Strong, are you present? Okay. Representative Ann Costello, are you present?
Representative Ann Costello from Arizona Free State is present.
Thank you, ma'am. Representative Elizabeth Gonzalez, are you present? Okay. I'll get told to you a little bit later. So Dr. Mosley is the author of several books, including the 50 Laws of Life, that lists those laws and how they apply in the Bible and then today. He has a show on Brighteon TV entitled The Laws of Life Court TV and a website as well, along with Justice Ministries International. And his website is www.lawsoflifecourttv.com. And he's also available for speaking engagements. And if you'd like to contact him, his email is mosleyjustice10@gmail.com. And without further delay, I present to you Dr. Fred Mosley for our teaching tonight.
Thank you very much, Representative Binder.
Yes, sir.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The laws of life, presented by Justice Ministers International, and the reason for the name Justice Ministries is because individuals, including believers, are looking for justice in all the wrong places. We are looking for justice in the legislative form of, in the legislative aspect of government, excuse the stumble. We're looking for justice in the judicial branch of government. We're looking for justice in the executive branch of government, on the federal, state, as well as the local level. And as I said before, people are looking for justice in all the wrong places. And I say to you without equivocation that the only entity from whom and through whom we can receive not just justice, but perfect justice, is by and through Father God. Now, most of us, I'm sure, are familiar with the fact that God uses those things we can see to help us to better understand the things we cannot see. And the reason I make that statement is because we can make contact with natural and physical laws with our natural senses, but not necessarily be able to make contact with spiritual laws, which I refer to as the laws of life. But we're living in these laws on a daily basis, whether we realize it or not. Now, let's look at a few natural and physical laws. And now the reason I'm doing this is to cause you to be more acclimated to the laws of life, which are spiritual laws, and they overrule and override all of the natural, or I should say overrule all of the secular and worldly laws. Now, I would ask each of you, and I'm sure everyone is in a room indoors at this time, if you would look around the room and look at the lighting in the room, do you realize that you wouldn't have lighting in the room if there were not some natural and physical laws at work properly for you to receive the light? I'm going to ask each of you, if you would, to start to breathe out and continue to breathe out until I suggest that you do otherwise. So if everyone in the room, and wherever you're located, if you will start to breathe out and continue to breathe out, breathe out, breathe out, continue to breathe out. And I say to you, there will come a time that you wouldn't be able to breathe out any further. Why? Because you've got to take some in order to put some out. That's the law of sowing and reaping. That's the law we live by and through on a daily basis and don't give any thought to. Everything we do is involved with some aspect of the law of sowing and reaping. I'm going to ask you to do another thing for me. Of course, just in your mind, not necessarily physically. But if I were to ask each of you to jump up and stay up there until I suggested that you come down, would you be able to do it? Well, I would say basically no. And why is that? Because there's another natural physical law at work, and it is absolute, just as those other laws that we previously mentioned. And that's the law of gravity, in which we're all familiar. Now, I'll endeavor to make another point at this juncture. Have you ever heard of gravity being referred to as a principle of gravity, as a concept of gravity? No, you have not. Why? Because we refer to it as a law of gravity, because it is an absolute, another natural and physical law. Now, the reason we're doing this is because there's so many new individuals on the call, and most of the ones who've been with the Republic for some time, they've heard me mention some of what I'm sharing today, but I'm sharing this for the purpose of the new representatives, so you can get a grasp, if you do not have already, a grasp of how these laws of life, these kingdom laws, these spiritual laws, operate in our daily lives, whether we're aware of it or not. Suppose I were to walk into a dark room, and I was uncomfortable being in that dark room. What would I do? I'd turn on a light. Why would I turn on a light? Because light is a higher law than darkness, and light can overcome darkness. The same is true when water, and we oftentimes use this example, when water reaches 32 degrees centigrade, it automatically, you don't have to speak to it or talk to it, or ask it to do it. It will automatically turn to ice. Why? Because it is an absolute physical and chemical law involved. If I put two components of hydrogen together and one component of oxygen, what do I expect to receive as a result of it, of that chemical formula? I look for water because it's naturally. So just as these natural and physical laws are absolute, the kingdom laws, the laws of life, are as absolute as those natural and physical laws that we just mentioned. There are many more that we could make reference to but I perceive that at least you're getting, if you have not already, the concepts of the laws of life, spiritual laws. Now, in order for us to refer to a spiritual law as being such, or a kingdom law as being such, and please tolerate me in giving this introduction, and many of you are familiar with some of what I've just said, but I think it would be unfair for the new representatives if they don't have some impression of what these laws of life are about, if they do not already. But in order for us to refer to a law of life as being such, we have to begin in the Old Testament and most times in Genesis with a foundational scripture. And we carry that foundational scripture throughout the Old Testament into and throughout the New Testament and develop that law of life as being absolute. Oftentimes, hundreds of scripture will come together to establish each of these laws of life. And Representative Bounder has mentioned to you that there are 50 laws of life that we primarily make reference to, but we're not suggesting those are all of them. But that's the booklet, or the book, I should say, that we've offered dealing with the laws of life. We refer to it as the 50 laws of life because we've had to, by the Spirit of God, we've been required to develop each of those laws of life, beginning in Genesis, tracing them all the way through the Old Testament into the New Testament as absolutes. Now, what we've been doing over these last months is to compare the kingdoms of this world with the kingdom of God as relates to the laws. And clearly we can see that those systems, and let me list the systems again, and the system would be the education, I want to start with the economic system, the social system, the educational system, the political system, the religious system. Now, there's some that say there's seven systems. There's some that say there's nine systems. I choose at this point to refer to five systems, and those other systems can be brought under one of these five. And at some point in time, I'll give an example how certain systems fall as lesser and included under greater principles of secular laws, I should say. So we have been sharing with you the difference between the worldly economic system, the worldly social system, the worldly educational system, the worldly political system, and the worldly religious system, comparing it with those systems in the kingdom of God and indicating how far apart these two systems are. Now, along with discussing those five systems, we brought in the last few weeks one or two other lesser included systems under the economic system, and we talked about the political system, but we've already dealt with that. But we did talk about the medical system, and we had a lively discussion concerning the medical system of the world as compared to the medical system of the kingdom of God. Those systems are separate and apart, and they're distinct, one as to the other. Then we started to talk about the legal system of the world and how it conflicts with the legal system of the kingdom of God. And I would suggest to you, and that is my understanding, that each of these sessions are recorded. You might want to avail yourself to some of the discussions that we've had concerning those five systems together with the medical system that we talked about here fairly recently. And in the near future, we may include the banking system of the world as compared to the banking system of the kingdom of God. You will find, if we're not already aware, that they're diametrically opposed. What about the insurance industry of the world system and how it conflicts with that of the kingdom of God? So then, what we're going to do in upcoming sessions is that we're going to continue to talk about these worldly systems and pointing out how they differ from the kingdom of God. And then there will come a point in time with a Representative Binder's okay and permission, we may begin to discuss the declaration of sovereign intent of the Republic and how that is consistent with principles or laws in the kingdom of God. And to draw from the declaration of sovereign intent, those laws of life, some of those, some of which we just referenced, and some of which we will reference at that point in time. Whereas hopefully you'll be able to see, wherever the circumstance or situation might be, there is a law of life embedded in that situation or circumstance. I'm going to touch upon a few examples, and I'm going to yield. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Some on the call may have heard me make this statement previously, but I'm going to make it again. Of the 8 billion people that are said to be on planet Earth, they fall under one or the other of these two laws. Either they're under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, or they're under the law of sin and death. There is no middle ground. And we also mention the fact that these laws of life bring forth a level playing field. And what I mean by that is that whomever the president is, or may be, and we know who has been recently elected, but whomever that person is, they are under, he or she is under, either under the law of the Spirit of life or under the law of sin and death. The president of the Senate of the United States is either under the law of the Spirit of life or the law of sin and death. Again, there's no middle ground. Governors of every state in the Union, they're either under one or the other of these two laws. We'll also mention the fact that in the courtroom, the judge may have a position that appears in the natural to be higher than yours or mine. But the point is that that judge, or that prosecutor, that defense attorney, that clerk, bailiff, whomever it might be, they still fall under one of these two laws. That police officer who may have stopped an individual and given them a speeding ticket, that police officer is under one of those two laws. That's why when you come to understand and appreciate these laws of life, you understand the fact that no one has an advantage and no one has a disadvantage, because these laws of life are applied equally, because they're perfect, the perfect laws of life. I'm going to give you 2 or 3 of us, then we're going to yield. The law of sowing and reaping, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a person sows, that shall he also reap. Now, that applies to everybody, whomever they may be. It doesn't matter what title they may hold. They are under the law of sowing and reaping. This is a kingdom law. Let's look at another one. Now, we'll go into these laws of life in more detail as we continue with our study. But the law of exaltation and abasement, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, but whosoever shall humble himself shall be exalted. That applies to everyone. Pride comes before destruction, and a heart of spirit before a fall. All you have to do is watch a prideful person for a length of time, and it's just a matter of time. And not that we wish ill will on anyone, but this law says if I'm operating puffed up, patting myself on the back, telling the world how great I am, at some point in time, I'm going to be brought low, because it's a kingdom law. Another one very quickly. And I'm going through these laws of life very quickly, but we're just going to touch upon another 2 or 3. Keeping in mind, the Spirit of God has given me 50 laws of life, and those laws of life can be traced from Genesis to Revelation. as absolutes. They're all agreement. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Everything we affiliate ourselves with, regardless of what it is or who it may be, we're in some form of agreement with that group, individual, or whomever it may be, because otherwise we would not be closely aligned or related to that particular activity or person. The law of agreement. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The law of accountability and responsibility. I'm going to stop with that one. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. There are no exceptions. So this is what these laws of life are about. When we get into a discussion of banking, a discussion of the banking arena and the insurance arena, we're going to endeavor to point out and point up the fact that the methods of operations they use in many instances, I'm not saying in all instances, we're not here to try to condemn anybody in any, but in most instances are in conflict with what the kingdom of God and the laws of life dictate that it be done. That being said, we're going to yield and be available for any questions or comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Justice Mosley, for such a great teaching. The floor is open for any questions or comments for Dr. Mosley. Please state your name and ask for the floor. Well, I would just like to say that it's always good to stay on the positive side of the laws of life, because if you go on the negative side, that's just like planting negative seeds. You want to plant positive seeds to grow a positive harvest. And those that plant negative seeds are going to reap a negative harvest. And the laws of life are instrumental in the Bible. They don't necessarily call them the laws of life, but it's another way for us to understand even more fully what the Bible is trying to teach us by example and by God's laws. And since God is the same yesterday as he is today, as he will be tomorrow, his laws very seldom change, except of course the blood ordinance laws. Those have changed. And so it's a good insight to be able to look at this from more than one angle to get more perspective. So the floor is open. Anyone else like to make a comment to Dr. Mosley or ask a question? All right. Well, I just wanted to say, if you're interested in the 50 Laws of Life, you can get his book on his website, which is, well, actually, I believe it's on www.lawsoflifecourttv.com. Isn't that not right, Dr. Mosley?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, very good. Well, thank you so much for a wonderful teaching, Dr. Mosley.
Mark?
Yes.
This is Jerry McCarty. Sorry to break in. I couldn't say yes to the roll call. My headset wasn't working, so I just went to speaker.
I see you're on the board, okay. So I marked you down as being here, so thank you for that. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. I yield.
Yes, sir. And Dr. Mosley, if you'd like to, you can hang on for John Rocco's going to do a presentation coming right up, and we're also going to go over four pages of the Proclamation of Claim and Interest, good Lord willing. All right.
Yes, I'll be on the call.
All right. Okay, great. So there's also, we have our speaker here, former speaker. He's given a special treat tonight, former Speaker of the House, John Rockwell, and who left us in honor this year after serving 11 years as House Speaker, and still serves in the Republic in other capacities. So he's going to share with us what it was like during the first Republic Congress and beyond. So, former Speaker Rockwell, you have the floor, sir.
All right. Thank you, sir. Good to be with you all tonight. I know some of you have heard me before, and the majority of you have not. But going to give you kind of a quick rundown of what I experienced from the Republic before it even was the Republic. In 2009, it was called the Restore America Plan. And then in 10 is when it became the Republic, and I was part of it then, did all my documents back in 2010. And then in the September of 2010, I officially became a part of the Republic. Also vied for a position in the House, and there were other people that were installed before myself. And then I was able, before I became a representative, was able to attend the Utah signing of the DSI, which, in other words, they penned it during that particular time, and I was able to experience all the spirit that was there that helped write that. And of course, I understand you've been discussing that little chunks here and there on the past several calls. In 2011, I became a representative for the state of Oregon and also the National First Congress as well. At that particular time, we had 10 representatives repping each state. And later on, we pared it down. I'll talk about that in just a moment. In January of 2013, that was the start of the second Congress, and that's when what we're doing now tonight and beyond, or before, was started. Then there was a group called the Nation State People that had different ideas of how the Republic should proceed, and that was a time that those particular people split with the Republic as you know it now. And during the summer of that same year, I agreed to be the Speaker of the House, so that was in 2013. And then after that, I was honored to attend President Turner's arraignment when they detained him, and that arraignment was a sham. I was able to give testimony of what kind of a person President Turner is and was, and none of that was listened to. And when they gave him his sentence, the prosecution started screaming and yelling that they'd won the thing, and I'm thinking, what in the world's that all about? You know, it's just like, it doesn't make any sense. But and again, that's the way the court system operated at that time. And again, Dr. Mosley probably will give you more details on that at a later time. I'm going to jump now to the fall of 2017, when Vice President Owens and he had some people with him, they split with the Republic as well. And at that particular time, we went down to one representative representing each state in the Union. In the fall of that particular year as well, the House and Senate met jointly for teachings that were done by David and Gene Hertler. And I don't know if you are familiar with them. They're the ones that have written the books that you probably have studied before you came a representative, and he did quite a bit of teaching. I won't go through all the things that he taught because it was over a period of several years that he taught at that particular time. And starting in 2022, Dr. Mosley started with his Laws of Life, and that's of course going on now because you heard him tonight to speak on many of the laws that he has written, over the 50 laws that he has in the books that he's written as well. And the final thing that I'll talk about tonight is in June of this year, my life changed with a whole bunch of things, so I decided to go ahead and resign as the Speaker and turn the reins over to Representative Binder, which he does an excellent job of what the calls are, and of course, you know, getting new people in and just continuing what the House has done for the past, dozen years, maybe 14 or 15 years that has been done. So that's kind of a real brief synopsis over the past dozen years or so that I was part of the House of Representatives and, of course, the Speaker as well. Hopefully that will kind of give you some insight of how things have progressed and where things are going, and I'll go and yield with that.
Thank you, former Speaker Rockwell, for that insight. Yeah, I can definitely attest to the fact that there was some turbulent times during the Republic. Once we got a good old head of steam, then some of the insurgents came in and disrupted everything. And I can remember when Speaker of the House Lounsbury from the first Congress was being accused of just doing everything, as President Turner was as well. You know, if you're not happy with what's going on, you just accuse your leader, I guess is what it was. And he actually resigned that very night that he was accused and everything, just because he didn't feel the people were behind him and stuff. And that's a tragedy, because a lot of us on the call were like in shock and awe that this was even going on, because he was serving in honor and everything. And he really brought a wonderful a work in the Congress and took responsibility over everything. He got us all set up and kept us in order very nicely. And it's a shame that we lost him then, but that's what the deep state does. They divide and conquer. So thank you for that insight, Speaker Rockwell. And hope you come back on our call some other time too, for updates and whatnot.
Well, you just tell me when you want me to do that, and I'll figure something else to talk about, I guess.
Yes, sir. So the floor is open. If anyone would like to ask former Speaker Rockwell a question or have a concern, the floor is open.
Yeah, this is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin Free State requesting
a floor. Yes, sir, you have the floor.
Well, the only thing is, we had a special at Wisconsin Free State where the first week of May of 2011, we had a special election to fill out all the seats, all the seats in that there. And not even a month after that, we had nation staters trying to take us down. They even stole the original. We had, domain. Every free state had a domain name. They even stole that from us. And I almost lost my seat because of these people. Yeah, that was back in June 2011, believe it or not. And we had a couple other attempted takedowns as well. So we know in Wisconsin Free State, we know all about nation staters. And I think I think it was right around 2014. I think elections were coming up, and I think that was when we decided to pare down the one representative per state, free state. And the reason that there was because I think it was President Geiger and some other officers discovered the Northwest Ordinance and being able to use that to fill the positions, under that there until we can get stood up as a republic. That's kind of interesting that there. And I still remember the time also. I know Speaker Rockwell was there, but another one that there, and I remember at the very beginning of the public when we started putting things out, one of the things was reconciliation with the Native American tribes around the country for all the atrocities that were committed against them. And that was part of the reason why I joined the Republic. And in June 2017, ended their movement called the Gathering of Tribal Nations. And that was headed up by Navajo Nation. It is Christian movement within the Native Americans. And we had June 2017, we had a big one at Green Bay, Wisconsin. And like I say, former Speaker Rockwell was there, myself, and we had and President and First Lady Geiger were up there, attended it, and that was a very transformational experience for everyone that attended. And and one of the things that there we did address, the reconciliation, started that process, if you will. And I'm not going to ramble on much longer, but so I'll just yield at that.
Thank you, Representative Schmidt, for that testimony there. I just wanted to point out the fact that on the first re-inhabited republic, Congress, we had to use a general assembly in order to inform the governors of every state that they need to come back to constitutional law and break away from the corporate United States. So that's why we had to go that direction then. And after they've been noticed and they ignored it and were in dishonor, then we had the remedy to stand up the republic, as well as we could use the Northwest Ordinance to re-inhabit the republic according to that, because once the governors were served at that time, we didn't have to try to do it again just because a lot of people left the republic. So that was another reason why we're using the Northwest Ordinance, because it's one of the laws that we can use, one of the documents we can use to re-inhabit the republic. And with that, I yield. The floor is open for any comments or questions for Speaker Rockwell, or just ask a question if you like.
I have a question, Representative Rick Yakey, Ohio Free State.
Yes, sir, Representative Yakey, you have the floor.
Hey, I'm not sure this is the proper time or even the venue for this question, but I was sworn in the latter part of November, and since then I've been trying to learn everything possible. I've been attended this class. I also try to attend the senators and the judicial class, and I'm trying to learn everything. But I have a question that I have been asked numerous times by people here in Ohio. And when we get to the point where the corporate constitution, I assume that it will be declared invalid at some point in time. Would that be a correct assumption?
Well, actually, sir, in law, the corporate constitution and everything they've done since December 19th of 1860 is null and void on its face. It's just an illusion, basically. So that a lot of people believed, and they called it the government, even though it's only the color of government, and the law they have is only the color of law. It's not biblical constitutional law.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. I just wanted to verify that. But that would mean that every law that's in statute or whatever, either nationally, statewide, or even local, would essentially be invalid. Is that correct?
That's true. And there's even an act that Congress did called the Act to Repeal the Act of 18... Nope, that's not it. I had it right here. I can probably post that. It basically says just what we talked about. It says that the every law that has gone on from January 19th, 1860 forward is considered de facto, and every law before that is considered de jure unless proven otherwise. So, yep, that's one thing that we're going to have to do as the House and Senate. Is we're going to have to go through the laws beforehand, and as long as they're not added to the Constitution or any other laws, they're considered de jure. And then we'll have to go forward at some point, whether it's us or it's the elected House and Senate, we'll have to go forward and, if you will, bring up the laws to modern times, because we've had other things since the Constitution, the Organic Constitution of, say, ratified in 1791 has been done. Like there's air travel and all kinds of other types of liabilities that have to be addressed so the judicial system can protect the people. So that's where we come in at eventually.
So that's what I thought. So basically, we're looking at an awful lot of work, or because every law ever written supposedly will have to be reviewed and reenacted if necessary.
Yeah, well, just the laws that are necessary beyond December 19th of 1860. Yep. I mean, there's still going to be injured parties. If you injure somebody, you know, then there's a court ballot. Sometimes, at the first point of time, it probably is not going to matter exactly how they were injured, but that they were injured. You know, if you're injured on an airplane, is it different than you're injured, you know, on the highway or something? Not really. And in my opinion, the private, you know, companies, if you will, like the airline industry, they're going to have to police their own. It's not going to be government control, in my opinion. It's going to be more like, well, you injured somebody, you know, there, here's the reason for it. You're held accountable. You know, if you're going to stay in business, you're going to want to do something about that. You know, whether it's training people, safety issues, aircraft maintenance, whatever. It's going to be more on the industry than it is on the government, because the government's going to be smaller. The national government will be smaller and smaller. The way the Founding Fathers wanted it, I guess, in God. So I hope that helps.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of what I thought, and we've had some heated discussions periodically, but that's the way I thought, and I appreciate the information on IU.
All right, sir. Thank you. Anyone else have a comment or a question? The floor is open.
This is Representative David Schmidt requesting the floor, please.
Yes, sir. You have the floor.
Actually, one of the easiest ones to deal with is the 16th Amendment, which created the federal income tax. And that, the reason it's so easy, because not one single state lawfully ratified it. And that's all you need. That there, the documentation is out there, and if you can find it, The Law That Never Was, Volume 1 by Bill Benson, and published in 1986. And I first read this 30 years ago. You know, it goes state by state, yeah, where the errors were and everything else, and there's a lot of states where they, you know, they require that there, you know, the legislative bodies have to have 2/3 of the entire body in order to be valid. And there are quite a few states that failed to do that, but yet they got reported as ratified, you know, things like that. Now, that's something else we can consider, too. Yeah, looking into the 14th Amendment, there are at least 33 states that did not lawfully ratify it. And with that, I yield.
Thank you, sir. I would also add to that that the Proclamation of Claim and Interest and the Declaration of Sovereign Intent addresses a lot of those concerns as well. And once we get read through those, I think we'll have a better understanding. So the floor is open. Any other comments or questions?
This is Representative Robin Cox. I have a question, if you please.
Yes, ma'am. You have the floor.
My question is, when the federal income tax is done away with, what's going to happen with the state income tax with those states that have it? What's going to happen to those state income taxes? I yield.
Well, I believe that we might get to tonight the proclamation claiming this, or maybe it was the DSI that I read it in. The state income tax has to go away because the only real lawful taxes are sales tax for like new items, and tariffs on imports and exports. I believe, to the best of my ability, that's the only two lawful taxes at the moment in the Constitution.
Okay.
So there may be other things that worked out. It's just having the burden of income tax and property tax off of the people is going to be a great relief, in my opinion.
Amen.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Floor is open. Would anybody else like to ask a question or make a comment? Okay. Well, thank you so much former Speaker Rockwell, for coming on this call. We really appreciate it. And sometimes to go forward, you have to know your past.
That's about right. It's an honor to be here, everybody. Enjoy the rest of the call.
Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I guess the time has come. We can either proceed forward with the last four pages of the Proclamation of Claim and Interest, because it's getting about 5 minutes to the hour, or we can table that until next year when we meet on January 7th, I believe it is. So anyone have any comments or suggestions about whether we proceed or whether we table it?
This is Representative David Schmidt requesting the floor.
Yes, sir. You have the floor.
Yep. Thank you. I would like to table it until January 7th, if you would, please. And I yield.
All right.
This is Representative Rebecca Sowell, North Carolina Free State. Could I have the floor, please?
Yes, ma'am. You have the floor.
I would like to second the motion to table it until our next meeting on January 7th, 2025.
Okay. You yield?
That is correct. I do yield. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. We have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion? Nope. Well, hearing none, we'll have a voice vote then, so make sure you're unmuted. All those in favor of tabling the last four pages of the Proclamation of Claim and Interest till the next time we meet, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Okay. We'll wait till next time. And I have one more thing to bring up, and that would be, does the House feel that it is good? Are they in favor of having Dr. Mosley doing his Laws of Life teaching alongside the Declaration of Sovereign Intent when we get to that? The floor is open for any discussion on that.
This is Representative David Schmidt. We're requesting the floor, please.
Yes, sir. You have the floor.
Yes, I'm in favor of having Dr. Mosley on our next call and moving forward. And with that, I yield the floor.
Thank you, sir. Any other comments?
This is Representative Robin Cox. I would like to second Representative Smith, his motion. I guess that was the motion, but anyway, I'd like to second it.
All right. Any other discussion on Dr. Mosley continuing on and helping out with the Declaration of Sovereign Intent? Floor is open. All right. I didn't really intend this to be a motion, but there's a motion and a second on the floor for Dr. Mosley continuing and teaching his teaching paralleling the Laws of Life and the Declaration of Sovereign Intent. I guess all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
All right. Well, that motion carries too. Okay, let me turn the page here. All right, is there anything else that somebody would like to bring up? The floor is open for discussion on whatever you have to bring. It could be about, but not limited to, Republic documents, past Republic legislation, House rules and procedure, current events, or whatever truth you want to share with the House. But please remember that any documents that you want to read on the House floor, like in their entirety, in the future need to be approved by the House admin and given to the representatives ahead of time as well. And also please remember that others will listen to this call later. So the floor is open for anything you'd like to bring up, House related.
This is Rebecca Sowell, North Carolina Free State. May I have the floor, please?
Yes, ma'am. You have the floor.
There's been discussion in our state level meetings with our governor, Peggy. And there, apparently, as we all know, there is one representative per state at this point in time in the Republic. And in the event, my understanding is, when we are stood up, if they require and or ask for additional representatives for each state that essentially are equal to the number of representatives that we had at the time that we became a state, we need to have people kind of at the ready to move into the seats, into the House. Is this something you're familiar with, Representative Finder? And I just want to see and make sure that we're all on the same page. I yield.
Yes, Representative Sal, I've heard that. It's I think Sandy and some of the executive have put that scenario forward. We don't know that's going to really happen, but it's always good to be prepared. And I believe some of the talk was that if you have a, say like you had a, somebody who's already vetted, at least in your state, you could send them up as a representative, perhaps a justice or someone like that. And that could make up the deficiency in representatives that you had when you, your state became a, or your free state, your territory became a state. That's what I know about it. So yep, it could happen, I guess.
Yes, you reverberated the way I understood it. So I just want to make sure that we are all prepared. And that we're all hearing the same message.
Yep.
I yield.
Absolutely. Thank you for bringing that up, Representative Sowell. Is there anyone else that has something to bring up for the House? Floor is open. Okay. Well, hearing nothing further discussion, I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn and reconvene the next scheduled Republic House call, which would be Tuesday, January 7th, 2025, 8 p.m.
This is Representative Robin Cox. I'd like to make a motion that we adjourn for tonight and reconvene with the legislative call on January 7th, Tuesday at 8 p.m. Central Time. I yield.
Of 2025. Yes, ma'am.
Of 2025.
This is Representative David Schmidt seconding the motion to adjourn. With that, I yield.
Thank you, sir. Well, we have a motion on the floor and a second. All those in favor say aye for adjourning and reconvening on January 7th, 2025 on Tuesday, 8 p.m. Please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? All right. Before we adjourn, would someone like to close us in prayer?
This is Representative Robin Cox. I would be happy to do that.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, floor.
Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that we humble ourselves before you, Lord, and we want you to be the leader of our government. We want you to be our leader, and we want you to be the center of our government. We realize that we are needful of your help in everything, that we cannot do this without your help. We humble ourselves before you, Lord. We ask that you would turn our nation back to you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we repent of our national sins. We repent of taking prayer and Bible reading out of the schools and out of the government. We repent of not allowing you in our government. We repent of the sin of shedding of innocent blood. Lord, turn our nation back to you, and we ask that you would have mercy on our nation, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that you are having mercy on us and giving us a reprieve of 4 years. Lord, I ask that you would, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over all of our leaders, all of the senators and representatives, and every one of us in leadership.
Lord, I pray your angelic hedge of protection around all of the people in the leadership. Lord, I ask that you would keep us out of World War III. Lord, let there be no nuclear strikes. Lord, keep, don't let Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you in evil spirits. You will not cause there to be any nuclear strikes in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, keep us out of World War III, Lord. And Lord, don't let the economy crash. And Lord Jesus, just keep us from having an economic crash, Lord Jesus. And Lord, just save our nation, Lord. Heal our land. And Lord, I pray for the peace of Israel. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over all of Israel and all of Jerusalem. I pray your angelic hedge of protection around all of Israel and all of Jerusalem. And Lord, I pray for the peace of Israel, and I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I pray that you would fight for Israel and fight for Jerusalem, Lord Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Well, thanks, everybody, for coming on the call. I forgot to tell you, but we have 13 representatives representing 13 states tonight. Pray you have a happy a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And you can reach out to me on the Republic House Admin website if you like. Have a safe and happy holiday.
Thank you. Yep. Same to you, sir.
Thank you.
Be blessed, and everyone be safe.
Thank you.
Everybody.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless.
God protect.